Hello, race fans, and welcome to Disc Golf Daily. Today is Friday, April 5th. It's time to get you caught up with disc golf news and growth in 10 minutes. Today, we'll be talking about disc golf handicaps. But first, the news. DGPT at NAB. The Disc Golf Pro Tour, specifically CEO Jeff Spring and Director of Broadcast Technology Jeff Tocci, will be presenting at the National Association of Broadcasters. From the press release, the Disc Golf Network delivers coverage of all Disc Golf Pro Tour events to fans across the world. This offseason, DGN migrated away from an out-of-the-box OTT solution to a custom-built OTT platform, moving an entire user base from one platform to another with minimal disruption to their service. Join us for an in-depth look at this process, the unexpected challenges that occurred, and an overview of the current state of the DGN 2.0 platform now that the 2024 season is underway. There is a lot to unpack here, but it is awesome that DGN is presenting at the National Association of Broadcasters. It's April 16th. If you want to get your online tickets to watch, that's going to be money well spent. Our number two news story, the DGPT has put out the most amazing video called Guess the Drawing. If you have 4 extra minutes in your life, watch this video. Link in the show notes. Touring pros try to guess who fourth grader Naria made a drawing of. I'll give you a hint. The drawing looks a little bit like Randy Macho Man Savage. And our final news story of the day, the Players Meeting has a great article, a feel-good article about Gavin Rathbun. Go ahead and call it a comeback. He tore his shoulder, took 8 months off to recover, had a tough 2023, and was ready to hang it up. His distance had dropped from 650 to 550, and he just didn't feel like he had it anymore. He also didn't get the contract numbers he was hoping for. But as fate would have it, his girlfriend got the call and was hired as DGPT Jomez Pro Retail Operations Coordinator. She'd have to work every tour stop. And as a result, it made the expenses doable for him to tour again. 4 events into the season, he has cashed at 3 of them with 2 top 10 finishes. Welcome back, Gavin. Let's pretend Jim Gold says to a new friend at the disc golf course, "What's your rating?" And Johnny Red replies, "880. What's yours?" "Mine's also 880, Jim Gold replies. "We should be evenly matched. Let's play." They play an advanced layout, and Jim Gold destroys Johnny Red. Did Jim have a good day? Did Johnny have bad luck? No is the answer to both of these. Jim Gold has developed his rating playing Maple Hill Golds, with OB on most of the holes and lots of water carries. There are lots of places for a bogey golfer to get in trouble. But with all that, Jim's rating is 880. Johnny Red plays Maple Hill Reds all the time. His 880 rating has been developed on a course with virtually no OB and a bunch of attackable holes, even for a bogey golfer. Yet his rating is also 880. When they play a course that has a difficulty between reds and golds, say blues, Jim finds it easy and Johnny finds it hard. Their ratings have been developed on courses with different difficulties and are therefore not truly relatable. This is why handicapping in disc golf is so hard across courses. You can develop a handicap for one course at a weekly or monthly league, but you can't take that handicap and have it apply to another course. I think we should work to fix that. Let's take a step back and see what traditional golf did to make this happen. In the early days of traditional golf, handicapping was an informal affair, with players often negotiating their own handicaps based on perceived skill levels or previous performances. This led to inconsistencies and disparities in competition, for sure. A standardized and fair handicap system was needed. Enter the United States Golf Association, USGA, disc golf's version of the PDGA. They were a pivotal player in the formalization of golf handicapping. In 1911, the USGA introduced the Handicap Index, a revolutionary concept aimed at providing a universal measure of a golfer's playing ability. Using a formula based on a player's scores and the difficulty of the course, this index laid the groundwork for modern handicapping systems. However, as golf courses continued to evolve in design and difficulty, it became evident that the handicapped index alone was insufficient to accurately assess a player's skill relative to the course they were playing on. I will give a real-life example and a fun example. I was lucky enough to be able to play Simon Lazat in a three-hole match. We even bet on the outcome. He had to beat me to win the bet. I only had to tie him, or win, to win the bet. The trick? The holes were 200-foot wide-open holes. We both birdied all three holes, and Simon learned that I like expensive dinners. With that result, we might believe that Simon and I are comparable golfers. We then go to Maple Hill Gold. Simon would likely win by a couple dozen strokes. On an easy course, there is little room to gain strokes, and therefore bogey golfers would do almost as well as par golfers. For example, on reds, I would likely shoot 6 down and Simon would shoot 12 down. However, on hard courses, the difference between bogey and par golfers is exaggerated. On golds, I would likely shoot 80 and Simon would shoot 60. And yes, I'm probably exaggerating for each of us. On one course, I lose by 6. On the other, I lose by 20. What should my handicap be? 6? 20? Some random number in the middle? It has to depend on the course. This was the dilemma that golf found itself in until the 1980s. This realization led to the development of the slope system. The slope system was a collaborative effort between the USGA and the American Society of Golf Course Architects. ASGCA, I will never say those words again. It's basically the equivalent of our disc golf designers group. And the slope system was introduced in 1987. It represented a significant leap forward in golf handicapping as it took into account the relative difficulty of golf courses by assigning each course a slope rating. The slope rating in traditional golf ranges from 55 to 155, and it is a measure of the relative difficulty of a golf course for bogey golfers compared to scratch golfers. For example, if a bogey golfer would shoot plus 18 on a course, and a scratch golfer would shoot par on a course, that course would have a slope rating of 100, meaning the handicaps are accurate. A bogey golfer would get 18 strokes. If, however, the bogey golfer shoots plus 12 and the par golfer shoots par, the slope rating will be lower. If the bogey golfer shoots in the double, shoots, let's say, 24 or more, and the par golfer still shoots par, then the slope will be higher. By incorporating slope into handicap calculations, we adjust for the differences in difficulty between courses. This ensures that handicaps accurately reflect a player's performance relative to the course they are playing on. By incorporating this factor into handicap solutions, the slope system ensures that players are appropriately handicapped based on the courses they play, thus leveling the playing field and promoting fair competition. The introduction of the slope system changed things dramatically for golf handicapping. Fairness, accuracy, and integrity were increased in competition across courses. It underscored the golfing community's recognition of the evolving nature of their sport and its dedication to adapting to meet the needs of players of all skill levels. The development and implementation of the slope system represented a significant milestone in the evolution of golf handicapping. By adding course slope to PDGA and/or UDisc ratings, we have an opportunity to create a level playing field for disc golfers across the wide spectrum of courses. And I'll take it one step further. I think the PDGA should farm out the creation of this disc golf slope to UDisc. They have tons of data, they have great mathematicians, and this would be a perfect olive branch to get the two organizations working together again. This would allow me to take my rating to another course, perform a quick slope calculation, and voila, I've got an appropriate handicap for a course and league I've never played. Hopefully, this is one lesson that disc golf can learn from our older cousins. That's it for us today. If you have any thoughts, news, or opinions, shoot us an email at discgolfdaily@aol.com. Have fun, throw them straight, and hit the thin gap.